soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up more than I can be.
One question that many brethren normally ask me is, how do you attain to the resurrection from the dead? How do you do it? What do you do to get to this place? I want to experience Christ consciousness. I want to experience all these things I've been hearing. And that is a very valid question. The only thing is that as a man, I do not have the answers. That's the complete answer to that kind of a question. I can drop a hint. I can give suggestions, but it cannot go beyond that. But there's one thing that we must bear in mind as we follow on to know the Lord. And that is those of us who seek the face of the Lord, who seek His glory, must believe first of all that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You must bear that thing in mind, that the Lord is not unrighteous to forget or to forsake those who seek Him day and night. Praise God. The resurrection from the dead, like we know, it's all about realizing this precious person that you are from the foundation of the world. Is realizing that stainless, perfect, immaculate, you know, glorious man that is within you. That is what they call, that is the resurrection from the dead. See, we are asleep when we are absent from God. We are asleep when we are absent from the Lord, who in reality is our life. The Lord is our life. See it. The Lord is the Spirit, and that Spirit is our life. If we are not consciously aware of this reality, we are deep asleep. If we are not consciously aware that our presence spans the whole of eternity, and that we feel all in all, and that all things are ours for our pleasure, we are deep asleep. Since herein lies the source of our problems, the tribulation, the pain, the torment, and all that, is simply because we are absent from the Lord. So the revival of the Lord, the revival of the Spirit, that the work of the Lord in our lives is to revive us from the dead. Some of us have descended so deep, you know, down into the depths of what we call hell, and we've totally forgotten this marvelous union that we have with the Lord. Praise God. Paul says that at the sounding of the last trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are different accounts. In the account of Thessalonians, he talks about sounding the trumpet. He said, the shout of the archangel, so that those that are asleep will awake from the dead. And they are all caught up into the cloud. The cloud that Paul was referring to is the spiritual body of the Lord. It's a spiritual body. So you cannot hold a cloud. You can't pin a cloud down. You can't confine a cloud. See, that cloud actually represents the body of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. See it, and we are, you see, when the trumpet sounds, it causes an awakening in us so that we can ascend back into that cloud, that spiritual cloud, so that we can be with the Lord, no more absent from the Lord, so that we can be in His presence, united with Him in one, not that the two, there's no more two, but one. See, we become one spirit with the Lord. See, that is the salvation of the Lord. Now, if you are one with the Lord, if you are experiencing this union with the Lord, you are awakened from the dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is the work that the Lord is doing. First of all, we must have the ability to hear the voice of the trumpet, the voice of the Spirit. See, you cannot hear the voice of the Spirit from a man. Of course, The Lord can use vessels to sound the trumpet, but your ability to hear the trumpet sound comes only as you are connected to the Spirit of the Lord. That is the only way we can, hear and receive the things of the Spirit. See, I can preach beautiful messages, beautiful sermons. I can preach deep mysteries and all that stuff, but it is as you fellowship silently with the Lord that you can hear the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit is not audible voice. See, it is a deep communication unto deep. Deep calleth unto deep. So it's not a voice that can be defined with doctrines or a mode of preaching and all those things that men do. Praise God. You see, many years ago, when I first had my experience with the Lord, see, because I've experienced that same thing that Jesus Christ exhibited upon the mountain of transfiguration, I've experienced that and I have seen what it means. I know what it means in its fullness. It's not because I'm better than anybody. It's not because I did anything to be special, but it's just the grace of God. See, when you begin to enter into the things of God, you realize that you do not earn anything, but rather it is the grace of God that lifts you up. See, it is the grace of the Lord that draws you back unto the Lord. See, it is written that I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with great mercies and kindness will I draw you once more to myself. It says, if you can stop the ordinances of the sun, and the stars from shining at night, and the sun by day, then will my love for you, Israel, cease. So you can see, it is just the activity of grace that draws people into the resurrection. Praise God. Years ago, when I had my first experience, I did not have this much knowledge that I have today. It was just enough for me to perceive the power of the single eye. It was just enough for me to perceive the power of the single eye and to behold the Lord seated in the whole of creation, and just to walk before that invisible presence. That was all it took me to find myself suddenly awakening into that glorious reality, quickened, and finding myself walking in all power and in all perfection and in all glory. And when you get there, you know in your heart that it is the Lord that took you there. It's not because of what you did. It's not because you were good. It's not because you taught him well. It's not because you read the Bible well, or it's just that, it's just grace. It is the grace of God, the love of God, that draws you unto God. Praise God. So it's not a thing that you can boast about. Nobody can boast about these things. Praise God. All you can simply do is to humble yourself and listen in silence. Enter into fellowship with the Lord. Separate yourself from this world. Separate yourself from the problems and the entanglements that this world has to offer. And stand in silence on your own and wait on the Lord. See, don't let the things, activities of this world and the distractions of this world obscure your view of that wonderful, beautiful, glorious presence. and sit there in fellowship with the Lord. Oh, praise God. Fellowship with the Lord. You must have the fellowship going for you by faith. See, bear in mind that you don't have to feel, initially you might not feel God's presence, you might not feel anything happening around you, but just know that His presence is there. The Father's presence is there. Recognize these things in your heart by faith and begin to seek Him and commune with Him by faith. He will be the one to impart truth into your heart. That's why in the letter to the church of Laodicea, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, it says, I knock at the door, your door, and if you allow me enter in, I will enter in and I will sup with you. See, that is communion. We must have this meditation, fellowship within our hearts. So that is where we get the bread. Even if you hear messages like this, you have to still go back to your closet and receive it from the Lord. See, you cannot receive anything from man. Praise God. I remember the children of Israel in the days of old, they too had to receive the manna from heaven. The manna had to drop from heaven, on every morning. And that was, their portion for the day to keep them going onto the promised land. See, those of us who will enter into the promise, which is the fullness of Christ, must learn to commune with the Father individually. You must have that relationship going between you and the Father. You must stand in your place. Because in reality, it's only you and the Father that exists. There's no other thing. Praise God. So our ability to listen and fellowship with the Lord is the first key. Saint Lazarus, who was sleeping in the grave, in the tomb, buried, had to hear that voice. See, he had to hear that voice telling him to come forth from the dead. It's truth. The voice of truth, he had to hear that voice. For himself to come forth from the dead. In likewise manner, we must hear that voice within us. See, books after books, doctrine after doctrine, letters after letters, at the end of the day, they do not mean anything except you have this fellowship going for you. Praise God. If you have this fellowship going for you, it is a communication, like I said, that is deep unto deep, that cannot be defined with words or letters. You cannot explain it. It's not something, the message that is imparted into you from the Father is not audible. So you can't write it with words. Praise God. You just look at nature. There are certain things in nature that occur by an invisible pull that you truly don't understand. The other day I was looking at a documentary. I saw these tortoise that, they were hatched out of, the eggs on the beach. A lot of eggs, they were, hatching, and I watched as these little tortoise that came out of the eggs started to crawl towards the sea and enter into the sea. Now, who taught them how to go into the sea? What was pulling them into the sea? Can you explain that? See, you just look at. See, I've watched a dog giving birth to puppies. And soon afterwards, you notice the puppies start to search for the breast of their mother. Now, who taught them that? So you see, there are some things that are beyond letters, there are some things that are beyond words that you can't just explain. That is why it's good that every man has to have this fellowship going for himself. John says that there is an anointing within us. An anointing within us that teaches us all things. Praise God. An anointing within us that teaches us all things. When we go out to fellowship together and when we listen to our messages, this fellowship must be going in us for us to benefit from what we hear. Praise God. Somebody can just get edified and quickened by just a message or a parable on a plant. Somebody can be edified by just listening, reading a part of the Bible. It's how you receive it from the Father that matters. Praise God. So that's the first principle. We must hear to listen. Listen to the voice of the Spirit as it pulls you back into that Christ consciousness, which is purely spiritual consciousness. It pulls you back into that consciousness gradually. So it begins to remind you of your spirituality. Praise God. It reminds you of who you truly are. And as you are reminded, there is an awakening in you which no man can truly understand how. Praise God. Of course, there are moments in times you could sleep and, you know, suddenly you wake up discovering yourself in some kind of heights, doing certain things. You could be sitting somewhere in your couch, in your parlor, and suddenly you find yourself, you know, experiencing beautiful things in the Lord, experiencing that union with the Lord. See, there's no way a man can truly pinpoint how this thing is done, except that we must, first of all, listen to truth. And as we listen to the truth, we're not just hearers, but walking in the truth. Praise God. If I hear the truth and it just goes from one ear to the other, what is the profit? If we hear the truth, it is walking in the truth that sets us free. It is walking by faith in the truth, exercising in ourselves in what we hear, that causes us to inherit the kingdom. Praise God. It's very important. That is why, see, Paul says that our salvation comes by confession. Our salvation comes by confessing Christ. See, with the heart we believe, we hear with the ears, with the heart we believe, and we now confess Christ. Of course, confessing Christ is not all about, you know, going out in the piazza, in the center of the city and screaming, "I'm Christ, I'm Christ, I'm Christ." It's not about putting stickers on your cars, or it's all about exercising ourselves in Christ, walking as Him, because that is us, that is our life. See, it is about exercising ourselves in the Spirit. See, beginning to put on the spiritual mind and beginning to stand immaculate in the Spirit the way we truly are from the foundation of the world. Praise God. So this is what it's all about. Our confession, we confess Christ by walking as Christ. See, Jesus Christ made a statement in Matthew chapter 10 verse 32. He says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." See, of course, it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is somewhere in the sky. See it. denying people entrance to God. No, these are parables. It's simply saying that we have access to the Father only as we confess Christ. We have access to the Father only as we confess Christ by conforming ourselves to Christ, by walking according to the Spirit, putting on the spiritual mind. See it? Returning back to our original place in the Spirit. So, because we all originated from that invisible spiritual realm and kingdom. See, we all originated from that place, but we somehow found ourselves walloping in the mud with a sense of, you know, belonging to a physical, natural world, and it is not supposed to be so. We've married ourselves to this world, to the natural, to the visible, which is not supposed to be so. So when we begin to confess Christ, like Christ says, I am not of this world, I am not of this physical dimension, I'm of a spiritual dimension. My world is spiritual. See, we must now begin to exercise ourselves in that, walking in the Spirit, confessing the Spirit, hallelujah, seeing things after the Spirit. See it. Hallelujah. Then we have access once more to the Father. You see, spontaneously as we walk in the Spirit, confess the Spirit, there is a purification, a transformation. See it, and before you know it, you are back in that union with the Godhead. You are back in that, consciously back in that oneness that you had from the foundation of the world. It's not as if God someday left us behind, someday in the past God, you know, kind of forsook us, or somehow we were separated from God. But all these things occurred in our consciousness because of the lies of this age. So now that the truth has come, by faith we begin to walk and confess Christ. Then we experience the salvation that we are speaking. Then we find ourselves back in the Father. See it? See, by finding ourselves back in, seated with the Father, in one with the Father, in the heavenly places, is the resurrection from the dead. See, this is where He's coming to gather us back into. That's the consciousness we all lost in our descent. See, when we died in Adam and we were buried in the vanity of this age. Praise God. So confession is another thing. As we commune and hear the truth, next thing is to confess this thing that we hear. Walk in the light. Walk in the truth. See it. Walk in the Spirit. Confess your spiritual man. Exercise yourself in the Spirit. Put into subjection every element, every, you know, part of your body, every member of your body should be put in subjection to Christ. Isn't it wonderful? This is the will of God for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So somehow as we do it, this is what Paul calls sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall what? Shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. So you can see this principle of sowing and reaping is all about exercising ourselves in the things of the Spirit. So it in the invisible, learning to walk in the invisible, learning to walk before that invisible presence. Say it. That is the, you know, key to our entrance back into that place we came from. Hallelujah. The invisible things of God, or that is invisible presence, where you have the joy of the salvation. That is where you have the beauty and the glory of God. But these things are hidden from men. See, men are drawn away by the deceitfulness of this outer order, and they lose out on the glory and the beauty and the majesty and the abundant life that is there in the spirit realm. See, it's sow to the spirit. See, no more walk in the flesh. You sow to the spirit by confessing Christ, by walking in the truth, in the revelation truth that the Father gives to you as you commune with Him. Oh, praise God. See, so you know how it is to sow. See, I'm not a farmer, but from documentaries I've seen and from what I've seen, I know to farm is quite a hard thing. Requires a lot of energy, a lot of input, a lot of patience, endurance. See, before the harvest start coming in. Praise God. This is one principle that we must bear in mind. Patience in sowing. See, it's patience in sowing, because the man that sows actually sows by faith. Of course, everywhere you go now, when you hear about sowing, all over the churches, all over the world, systems of religion, when you hear of sowing, it's all about money, 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 sowing, so that the churches and everywhere is sowing to reap money. Sow your money into the coffers of the bank of the church, and you get more money in return. You get blessings and all that kind of stuff. See, but that's not the sowing that Jesus Christ came to introduce to us in this world. See, sowing and reaping goes beyond the natural. See, what shall it profit a man if he sows all his money in the coffers of a church and reaps a million fold, only for him to remain in the ignorance of Adam? See, many of these scriptures have been twisted over the years. Sowing and reaping is all about sowing into the spirit. See, it's sowing to your inner man. Praise God. Sowing in truth. And you agree with me that it needs patience, endurance in a dark world like this world that we live in. A world where nobody wants to walk in truth. A world where the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life reigns. See, sowing is a principle, like we see in the natural, that is very fundamental if we want to take a hold of that eternal life. We sow to the spirit, we reap eternal life. See, we can look at our lives as human beings, as that barren, dead piece of land, and the world is now sowed into it. Patiently, we have to guard that word, nurture the word, so that it brings forth fruit. See, so that we can, once more experience the totality of the joy of the Lord, the totality of that eternal life, that blissful life, that flawless life, that all-powerful life, that glorious life with, infinite possibilities. That is the eternal life. See, a life where there is no fear, no uncertainty, no worries for tomorrow. See, a life of perfect peace and stillness. A life of laughter. See, that is the prize that every man who knows truth seeks after. To recognize him, to know him. Paul says that I may know him. That I might know him. That I might know Christ. That I might know myself the way I am known of God. That I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let me ascend back into that glorious state. See, Paul says, I have counted it all loss. All those things I gained in the past in relation to myself, in the religious fields, my knowledge, everything lost. Like dung. Just to take a hold on the knowledge of Christ. See it. That he may partake of the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you see, Paul was now sowing his life to that which is spiritual, so that he can gain that spiritual perfect man, which is Christ. Praise God. So like I said earlier on, the farmer who goes forth to sow does this by faith, believing that he will receive in due season. See, the farmer in reality does not have power over what is to come. He does not have power, you know, over the products. He does not have power over the growth of the plant, how it will turn out and all that. All he does is to sow by faith. See, so in likewise manner, all we do is to hear this great revelation from above and to sow by faith. We sow by what? By faith, believing that the Lord is able to bring us to an expected end. Very, very important. See it. I'm going to read something from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. These are spiritual lessons for us. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who make it all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hands, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be alike good. See, it's whether both shall be, you know, alike good. So you see, already the wise man Solomon is talking about sowing here, about the mystery of the development, you know, from the seed stage, you know, to that harvest stage. Nobody knows how. You don't understand the work of God. You don't understand how it all works. All you can do your part. All you can do is sow. That is your part. Nothing else. It's just like a childbirth. When the husband and the wife or the couple meet together, when they meet and they mate together, the man deposits his seed in the womb of the woman. You see, but from then onward, he has no power over what happens in that womb. He has absolutely no power. He does not know how the things are developed. Even scientists and all the whatever researchers and all that, they do not, there is a limit to what they can know about the development, you know, of a fetus in the womb of a woman. So in likewise manner, all we can do is to sow to the Spirit. See, by confessing Christ, walking as Christ, walking in the Spirit, walking in this revelation truth. See it, and believe God by faith that in due season you will be among those that rejoice with great joy, with great laughter when the harvest comes. See it. A moment you might sow, it might be difficult, it might be tedious, but the days come where you shall be the bride of everybody, where people shall admire you and see you prospering and entering into your rest. Praise God. Let us read these songs of degree. The songs of degrees are songs that pertain to the ascension. In those days, the children of Israel, when they go up to worship the Lord, these were songs or psalms that were normally sung and recited. Psalm 126, a song of degrees. Of course, you know that if you are in the resurrection or you are seeking the resurrection, it's all about ascension. Psalm 126, verse 1, a song of degrees. When the Lord turned away the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Whereas we are glad. Turn again our captivity as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Praise God. See, there's a period of sowing, a period of weeping, a period of toiling, tears, but there's also a period of reaping after you've patiently waited on the Lord. After you've patiently sowed your seed, sowed to the Spirit, which is Christ. After you've patiently conformed yourself to walk in the Spirit, in righteousness, letting go of the vanities of this age and exercising yourself in brotherly kindness, in love, and continuing in this doctrine of truth, the days come when you enter into joy. Hallelujah. This is the open door that the Lord has set before all the captives of this world. Those who can see Christ and recognize Christ as their life. Those who can get this mystery and will come forth from the graves. They shall come forth and all their shackles shall be loosened and they shall enter into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So we can see here that sowing and reaping is a must for every child of God. See, you sow by confessing Christ. You sow by walking in the Spirit. See, you be sowed by walking in relation to God's order as it's being revealed to you. Because that is the doorway into a new world, a new realm, into everything that is wonderful and good. Praise God. So the resurrection from the dead, like I said, is not something that we earn. It's just simply the grace of God unto the whole of humanity. And it's readily available right now by your confession. See it. And letting go of all your attachment to this world. You see, it all goes hand in hand, because as you confess Christ, who is the spiritual man, you let go of the corruption that is in this world. You let go, see, of the vanities of this age, and you find yourself ascending back into that union that you have with the Father from the foundation of the world. Praise God. See, when Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus calling him to come forth, you notice that he obeyed. See, he made the step of faith and came forth. See, from the ignorance or the darkness of the tomb. Now that talks of the material outer world that we live in. See, all these activities and everything that we see and all those things that we do in this world all belong to that cave. They all belong to that dark cave where Lazarus was. See, he was bound to the beggarly elements of this world, bound to a sinful, corrupt, corrupt nature, cut off from the light, from reality. But he heard the truth, the voice of truth, telling him to come forth from the grave. That's the resurrection. He obeyed. See, he comes forth by recognizing that he is Christ, the living one. You come forth by confessing Christ and walking as Christ. Praise God. Moments before that, Jesus Christ had told him, Jesus Christ had declared to the other ladies, to Martha, Mary, that I am the resurrection, I am the life. So there's no way Lazarus can come forth from the grave if he remains Lazarus. Lazarus can come forth from the grave only as he remembers that I am Christ. As he remembers that I am Christ, the living creature of God, the true image of God. See, if we don't remember these things, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. Praise God. As Lazarus takes the step of faith to come forth, he is loosened. We must take the step of faith and confess Christ. Hallelujah. It's a life of prayers, dedication. See, a life of stillness. You might want to just get away from the many entanglements around you in this world and just be in constant stillness and in prayers. That's why Jesus Christ always adverts, watch and pray, watch and pray. Watch and pray is all about meditation, continuously in the state, in meditative state, recognizing the presence of the Father continuously. Continuously. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then we can, realize the morning star attribute that is nested within us. See, it's a wonderful thing, it's a beautiful thing. See, and as you begin to attain to this place, you know that it is by grace that you are saved, so that no man can boast. Simply by grace. Praise God. The moment we begin to forget what grace is, that we risk falling out of line. Hallelujah. Continuity and prayers. This is the key, the number one key. Prayers, continuity, sowing, listening, and fellowshipping with the Lord. We must learn to stand and return back to that fellowship with the Lord. See, you cannot fellowship with God and fellowship with devils. You can't fellowship with God and fellowship with men. It's, we must learn to stand constantly in the spirit, fellowshipping with the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see, there's no one way, there's not a method to attain to the resurrection. See, it's all about dedication and faith. See, dedication and faith. See, continuity in fellowship. See, and trusting God to bring you to that expected end. God bless you.